Hey, this is Joe R. Lucas, and you're listening to the crossover at the Final Four. Over the next few days in Victoria Gas Stays, I will bring you exclusive interviews with key players, plus incisive big-name, big-game analysis. We'll preview the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague Championship game in Saturday's podcast, but today it's all about the huge semifinals. Fenerbahçe against Anadolu Efes and CSKA Moscow against Real Madrid. Welcome to the crossover at the Final Four, and I'm Joe R. Lucas. I'm sitting here on a Thursday morning in Victoria Gasteiz at the hotel, the team's hotel. That's right, all four teams are in the same hotel, and they arrived yesterday afternoon, and I got a chance to sit down and talk with some of the most important players that'll be playing this weekend. Stay tuned for interviews with Ali Mohamed, Tibor Pleiss, Chacho Rodriguez, and Trey Tompkins. But before we get to them, I'm with a couple of huge name stars. My first guy sitting here to my left is a two-time EuroLeague champion with Maccabi Tel Aviv, where he is now the team manager and was able to sit down with him during the season and have an episode of the crossover, plus a five-time All-EuroLeague voted member of the EuroLeague basketball, all-decade team, all that good stuff. Plus, we got to talk a little bit about it, the triple-double that finally got tied and beat this year. Nikola Vucic, how are you, my man?
I'm great. Good to be here.
Good to be here. Good to have you here, of course. And then, of course, another guy who's been a host of club wins, Greece, Spain, Italy, Turkey, Cyprus.
Everywhere.
You've won everywhere. Mikhailis Gagousis.
Gagousis.
Come
on, we played together a year.
I should know that. We played together for a year in Nike, right? Was it in Nike? Yeah, of course. Again, a guy who's been to many Final Fours, unfortunately, as he just told me, he's had every position won but the first one. He's got a second, a third, and a fourth position, so he knows about it. Mikhailis, I'll start with you then. You know, I tried to talk to these guys yesterday about what it's like to come here. Tibor Pleiss was a guy that just came here the first time. Yeah, the other guys that have been here a lot. What's it like as far as all the interferences, the people asking for tickets, the band of the craziness all around the gym?
To be in the Final Four is the biggest celebration of European basketball. So imagine some teams like Efes. I think Efes goes in the Final Four after how many? 20 years, yeah. More or less. So it's a very big celebration for them and also for the players, that they have the opportunity to be in this kind of celebration. Maybe they never be again in the future. Mm-hmm. And my advice is to try to enjoy, first of all, and to win, of course.
Nikola, you've been in so many also. And again, I talk a lot about I talked about these guys yesterday. Like, some guys have been here before, so they know to go about their day by day. But other guys are new here, and it's... You know, like I said, you got people asking for tickets, you got family coming, and you know, it's not a typical game, because when you go in the middle of the season, if you take a trip to CSKA Moscow to play a game, you're focused, you're with your team, and that's it. But this is different.
Look, we have three teams that they are here repeatedly many times, and players of CSKA, Fener, and Real, I'm sure that they are focused, living day by day. They know that all the small details are important. FS Pilsen, after I think what 18, 19 years they came to Final Four, for sure that there is a more excitement and more these small things around the team. But they have an experienced coach. They have also some players that they know how important it is to keep the focus, and you know, tomorrow they have a big game.
It's a different game though. The game, it slows down a little bit when you get here. The game, you know, the season kind of picked up quick, and it was a fast season, so everybody was scoring 85, 90, 95 points a game. And then all of a sudden you saw, as the year goes on, you know, it was down to 80, 85, then it went down to 70s, and you saw even games in the 50s and 60s. And that's what usually you get here in the finals. Why is that?
Players came really, you know, they're all focused now for every detail that coach is explaining. Scouting is the highest level. There is not so many easy open shots, and you have to also take in consideration there is excitement, there is some heaviness in each shot. You know, it's lots of stakes over here, you know, the stakes. So players are a little bit, you know, even a little bit more hesitant to take some shots, you know. So
Mikhailis, you've been to four, and you haven't won one. Okay, and I'm not. I don't want to say that in a bad way because I've been also, and I haven't won one. Don't I worry. Know exactly what the feeling is. I think the hardest thing is the consolation game. Of course, that's harder than any game. Nobody likes to play that game. We talked about that with Trey Tompkins. But you fight so long to get there. You finally get there, and you don't fulfill it. What's that feeling like when it's all done and said?
It's bad. It's bad. But like we said before, it's total different situation. I disagree more or less for the points because you see the last Final Four, all the points are 80, 90, right. The finals, and so the offense is against here because now everybody playing in a different court. They don't have, you know, the home advantage like they have in the playoffs or during the season. And the teams now, they work very hard for all the year and be here to play two games, actually one game. Because it's the semifinals, it is the game, the most important game of the season for the fourth team. And if you lose that game, after it's very hard because the life goes on. They need to play playoffs for the league. Exactly. And you need to be focused 200%, not 100%, put your feelings away and continue your work. I don't know. My opinion is FS is the less is the team that they have the less pressure because right now nobody expect for them to do something different because like Nicolas said, the Fener or Real or CSKA, they come here in the Final Four too many times, I don't know, five, six times in a row. And maybe they have less pressure, but we'll see in the gym because for me, it's one of my favorite FS to go to the final.
Well, let's go right into it then. Let's go into the semifinal. You got Fenerbahce, Beko Istanbul against Anadolu Efes Istanbul. Two teams from the same city. Actually, that game's going to be Friday at 1800 hours or 6 p.m., depending on what you like to say in your country at the Fernando Buesa Arena. And we're going to start with Fenerbahce. And I've been chatting, I was able to chat yesterday with their point guard, Ali Mohamed, here at the team hotel. And we started out by talking about a little bit of the regular season, 25-5, especially coming off the loss of last year. So we're going to listen to that interview and then we'll discuss it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I knew he was going to be good, but 25-5 is like kind of excellent. It's like
those are numbers.
Those rare numbers in EuroLeague.
I noticed y'all were 15-1 right through the halfway point. Mm-hmm. But y'all, I'm going to test you now. Mm-hmm. Y'all, you know who you lost to?
Yeah, we lost to Efes.
There you go.
And we was up 20.
You're up 20 there, you know?
We relax, man. You know, we tend to do that sometimes when a game get kind of boring, but we relaxed a little bit and they got on us. So
you were 1-1 against them in the EuroLeague this season. You were 1-1 against them in the Turkish League also. Plus the one game that y'all won, I think went in overtime if I'm not mistaken. And I think y'all beat them in the Turkish League in overtime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I looked at Efes when they were playing against Barca, and I looked at the thing and I said, if Efes wants to get into this thing, they might be looking positively. Number one, they know y'all.
Right.
And number two is they fared well against you this year. Uh-huh. How do y'all go into that feeling that way?
I mean, with Efes, you know, you played them so many times. Right. Like, we've been playing them 4 years straight in TBL Championship, EuroLeague Championship. So, you know, they pretty much kept, like, a balance of somewhat the same team. So, I mean, you get kind of used to guys, and guys kind of know each other's tendencies, right. You know what I mean? So, I mean, sometimes it just be a certain day where they'll get you and we'll get them. So, I mean,
you can't have that in the Final
Four. No. We recognize what time it is now, though.
What was the feeling in within the team the second game against Žalgiris in the playoff? Because y'all dominated the first game. Yeah. And, you know, I've seen this so many times in the EuroLeague playoffs where, you know, a team wins by 30 or 40 and takes their foot off the gas or whatever analogy you want to use. Yeah. And then the team comes out and surprises them. But, like, Žalgiris did it last year to Olympiacos and went home and won 2.
Yeah.
Was there a little bit of, like, apprehension? Was there a little bit of fear? Was there a little bit of, like, hey, fellas, whoa, hold on a second.
I mean, like, with Žalgiris, they're a really good team, bro. Like, I don't know if people recognize it. I feel like if they matched up against anybody else, they probably would have got them. But, I mean, as far as that second game, you know, the first game, as Coach said at the end of the first game, that this is not a normal score. I mean, I think we held them to, like, 40, 50 some points, which was a low.
It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, so in the second game, they kind of like was kind of like probably mad the way they played the first, and they came out and they played real tough and it was aggressive. And I mean, we probably was on a high thinking like it's going to be an easy game, you know, relaxed a little bit. We at home, we haven't lost at home. And they came out and they did what they had to do. They surprised us and they beat us.
Did you feel like you're on that Lithuania fairy tale train? Or, like, oh man, don't do us like y'all did on Olympiacos last year.
We got a veteran group of guys that know what we be having to do, you know. Right. So we went into Lithuania like we can't play with these guys because they'll beat us. Right. So we had that sense of urgency and we knew we can't let our foot off the gas.
Every time somebody asked me this year about y'all's team, mm-hmm. like the word I always use was serious. Mm-hmm. It was like every game y'all just looked serious. There was like the only game I really saw y'all didn't play well was in Madrid against mm-hmm. Real Madrid. But other than that, it's like every time I saw y'all, it's just like, man, this team is just all about business. Mm-hmm. Did any of it come from the loss last year?
Oh yeah, for sure.
In the finals?
For sure. Like to lose in that final last year, I mean, I've been here, this is my fourth year here and we lost two finals. Right. So we won in three
and
finals.
And you lost a semifinal also.
Yeah, the year before I came. So
you're more used to losing than you are winning.
Man, so like this year, everybody's like, man, we had that feeling, that bad taste last year losing to Madrid. So guys like, man, every game counts. We got to make a statement and we got to show people that we here to win. So that was our mentality.
Game four counted for you, didn't it? 25, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those nights. First, previous two, I didn't really get a rhythm. They was on me. Like, they didn't give me an inch of space in none of those two right. games. And kind of the third game was kind of like similar to the same. I didn't play much. Coach didn't play me much. But that fourth game, I came out. I was going to be real aggressive. Like, Coach told me, you know, this is your game. So, I don't know. He must have felt it or something. Everybody was saying that day.
But really?
Yeah. So, I was like, why everybody telling me this? like I'm due, you know. So, I just came out aggressive.
And the crazy thing is not only are they telling you, but you did it.
Yeah. I mean, once I see the ball go in, yeah. It's like when I see that ball go in, I get super confident.
Explain just what it's like to the listeners at the crossover to go through the whole season and to get into that last game. Because mm-hmm. I've been there with you.
Yeah.
To just lose that game.
Oh, man. It's like it hurts, man. Like, because during the season, it's a grind, man. It's like you're traveling.
Right.
You got every game counts. You know, the practices, you know, the mental tiredness. It's just so much you go through during the season. And then you put all the work in and you get to that final game. And then to lose, it's like, man, it's like somebody gut you, you know. But, I mean, you know, you just got to come back in with that motivation the next year, man, and try to handle your business.
Is there ever a feeling, and I know I've thought this myself, is there a feeling like, damn, I wish I didn't even get to that final game if I'm going to lose it?
No, it don't be that feeling. It's
yeah, but
just
you don't sound that positive about it, though. Yeah. You sound, you're kind of like, no, not really, but.
I mean, like, to get to a final ain't easy, man. It's not easy, but. When you get there, it's like you replaying your mind, like, damn, what did I do right? Like, what could I have done more? Like, what could we have done as a team to, you know, prevent this or prevent that, you know? So that'd be what be going through my head.
You said it. Anna Dula knows you just as well as y'all know them.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think it's going to take to get through this team to get to the finals on Sunday? Because they've been playing.
Yeah, they've been playing well. I mean, like,
knocking out that perimeters.
Yeah, they've been playing well. You know, Barcelona made it kind of easy for them. Like, the guards, they're coming off and they getting easy looks. You know, so,
Barcelona can't think that. It went to five games.
Yeah, I know, but they let Larkin just scorch them, though. Yeah, like, yeah. Every game, almost.
You're hoping to play against Barcelona, then.
I mean, yeah, if they're giving up shots like that.
I mean,
Efes been playing well. They've been doing well the whole season. Actually, they shocked a lot of people by finishing fourth. So nobody
crazy.
Expected them to do that. But, again, like, they had a great season. A lot of individual players played well. So, for us, I mean, we know them pretty well. We're just going to try to, you know, push them to their weaknesses.
You mentioned the fact that last year's loss was motivation throughout the 25-5 regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Still there? The motivation still there?
It's still there, especially for me.
Even more
me personally,
so right now.
Yeah, man, I'm not a good loser.
Because who is?
I'm not a good loser, man.
If you got a good loser on the team, you better get rid of him quick.
Yeah, you might have to slap him up a little bit.
What'd you do last year after you lost the game?
Man, it's just been like, it was like kind of somewhat of depression, man. I'm still not over that first one in Berlin.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that was, you know, losing in overtime like that. I feel like we should be 2-3. Yeah. Madrid actually beat us last year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I feel like we should be 2-3. So
I'm going to give you some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
I lost. Let's see. I won in 95. I lost in 96. Mm-hmm. And the one in 96 still sticks with me today. So it ain't going anywhere. Yeah, that feeling's always going to be there.
Yeah, man.
I always tell people, like, I feel as though, like, I'm more upset with the ones that I lost than I'm happy about the ones that I won.
Yeah. It's like you let it get away, man. Exactly. It eats at you. You just be laying in your bed and you're like, man, I can't believe I lost that game.
I know. Close your eyes. Yeah, you see that one shot you miss. Or whatever, man. Anyways, man, listen, I got to let you go. It's good luck to you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
I'm commentating your game tomorrow. So I remember back in Berlin when you went off in the second half and hit like 6 threes in a row and brought your team back from down 20. Uh-huh. Get me out of my chair again tomorrow with my headphones
man,
on.
Hopefully you don't have to get to that, man. Hopefully we can
do it
make
some
it comfortable.
Other way then.
Yeah, but man, if God willing, if I see them opportunities, I'm trying to cash in.
We heard the words from the man, from Mali Muhammad, 25-5. It was an amazing season, one of the best seasons in your league history. How motivating is it to lose that game and want to come back? Because, I mean, of course, you're dealing with Zeljko Obradovic, number one. So you know Zeljko's talking about that probably on a daily basis. But can the team actually be motivated for the whole season based on one loss?
I tell you something. I said to my players when we have this meeting before season, I told them, guys, listen, we start playoff of EuroLeague 1st of October. Every game is so important from the start. And you see that on the end, to qualify to top 8 from 6 to 12 plays was one game. This kind of EuroLeague keeping players motivated through all season. This, for me, the result that the Fenerbahce had this year, 25-5, it's really a big success.
They went 3-1 in the playoff. I got into the one playoff game. Of course, you know, we all talk about the negative things. But that one game, I mean, you know, Zargidis has this fairy tale thing. They've had it for the last couple of years. And with Jasikevičius as their coach, and he's just a pure winner. Do you think there was a little bit of nervousness in the locker room when they lost that second game? Because we've seen so many times. I think Olympiacos a few years ago with Barcelona.
Last year.
A couple years ago. Barcelona won by like 30 in the first game.
Yes.
And then they blew the playoff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we saw Olympiacos again last year with Zalgiris.
Yes, of course, 2 times.
So, you know, I was like, if I was in that locker room, I'd be like, oh, man, not us, please. Do you think that they were?
Yeah, of course, everybody think that. Maybe,
he said no.
Maybe we destroy the season. Of course, he said no. Like he said that if it's not Fenerbahce and it's another team like Barcelona or like Fes or like maybe also Real, maybe Zalgiris beat them. The next two games in the Kaunas, because you know his home court is incredible, one of the best in the EuroLeague. But they have experienced players. They pass all these kind of situations a lot of years before, and of course they have Obradovic that they prepare them again to be ready for the next game. And my opinion, like everybody said, that in a series of games, 5 games, the best team go to the next level, and Fener not only because of 25-5, but because all the season. 90% of the season is a very big percent. They play with very high intensity of the game and level, and they be focused every time.
But this is not a playoff. Some people could see this Final Four weekend as being unfair to the best team, because it's not a playoff. I think it's the greatest format around because it's just so much pressure, and you have to be at your best in one game. But if we talk about being fair or unfair, we have to talk about arriving at the Final Four in the right condition. And Fenerbahce is a team right now that's hurting.
Yes,
they come here limping into the Final Four. Datomi's out. Vesely's question mark. Kalinic is a question mark. I mean, how does that affect the team mentally? They've 25-5, they work so hard, and they get here and they could be losing 3 of their top players.
Look, they have a deep roster, but when you lose the players that they are leaders of the team, it's, you know, it's hard to replace them in especially game like this in semifinal. But on the other side, it's one game, so players will go all in. They will give their best. But it's a Final Four. It also has this unpredictable stuff that in every Final Four suddenly appears some of the players with extraordinary game, extraordinary day, and coaches are preparing themselves for something, and then somebody come from the bench and score. You know, like last year was
Kalinic a couple of years ago was that came out and Kalinic, scored like 3 threes in a row. And
last 2 years,
last 2 years, and also I remember last year semifinal Fenerbahce Žalgiris.
Muhammad Ali came and like in 5 minutes scored 15 points.
But we know he does that. He does that in the finals in Berlin also. And plus, you had last year in the final, you had Fabien Coser.
Yes,
for Madrid. So you never know. Like you said, you plan against so much. But you said it before. Now we're going to get into Efes in a minute. But you said the same thing that I thought from the beginning. Fenerbahce is the favorite, but Efes is a dangerous team, man.
Now it's different because with this kind of injuries, it's different.
But hold on one second. Do you believe in that? In what we always used to say, like the wounded animal, you know, the injured animal is the most dangerous one. You know, you have to be careful because you might take him for granted.
Yes, I believe that Kalinic and Vesely are gonna play. We don't know how good they are, how the physical condition, but they have experienced team, Fenerbahce. For the other side, that is two teams that they play five times already in the league and for the Turkish league, for the Champions League, for the Cup final, so they know each other very good, and they're gonna be prepared. Probably Efes think like, okay, Vesely maybe don't play, Kalinic don't play, Datome don't play for sure. Maybe he's more relaxed. This is trap probably for them, but I think that they have experienced players. They have a good coach, Ataman. They'd be prepared for a tough game. We'll see what happens.
After we talked with Ali Muhammad, I got a chance to... I went from the little guy to the big guy, you know, so I got a chance to run down with Tibor Pleiss, and we got together, and I started by reading him some of his significant stats that the poor guy's been around for so long, it never made it to a Final Four, and the stats are amazing. But first, let's listen to his interview, and then we'll talk about it. 8 seasons... Mm-hmm. 6 different teams, mm-hmm. 1,484 minutes played,
damn,
and 186 games. And you finally arrived right here at the Final Four in Victoria Gasteiz.
I was so many times so close and I never made it.
You were?
Yeah, I mean, like with Baskonia being kind of close, we lost against CSKA. I remember that game, it was kind of tough. And with Barcelona, we lost in Olympiacos in the last seconds.
Does it make it that much sweeter to be here, that you've had it so close, you've had that taste of it almost, and it was taken away from you?
I think it made it already sweet that it's my 8th season now in EuroLeague, and finally that I made it.
1,484 minutes.
God, I was on the court for for years.
But you're not, how old are you?
I'm 29.
You're 29, you're not even that old.
I'm so young. Yeah. I feel so fresh.
Yeah, enjoy it, because 29 to 35 goes flying by. You're here, and the craziness of the Final Four hasn't started yet. It's still Wednesday. You know, you haven't seen the crowds. You haven't seen the craziness. What do you think the difference is going to be for you as far as the game's concerned with all the – because it's totally different. I mean, it's your first time. It's going to be totally different. What do you feel – what are you looking forward to, or what are you trying to avoid for that situation when it comes? You're just trying to stay focused on your game.
Actually, I was thinking about that the last few days, and I worked really hard to get there, and I just want to enjoy it. Like I was thinking about, like, oh, will I have pressure? Will I push myself too much? But I'm here, I made it. Now I just want to enjoy it. I want to give my best, and I want to fight. And on the end, what's coming out, like, we will see. But just to come to that point to play in the Final Four, and I don't know if I will play another Final Four.
Right.
In my career,
that was going to be my next question. You want to enjoy it, but you also want to make sure that you get the most out of it, because you never, you know, if it took you so long to get here now, hopefully it's not true. Hopefully you'll be back.
I'm in this situation with all of my teammates. I don't know if any of my teammates made it to the Final Four. I think, I don't think so. So it's...
You guys are all rookies.
It's incredible. Yeah, we're all rookies. And,
sometimes I mean, that's a good thing.
Definitely. Like, we don't have pressure. Right. Like, we are kind of the underdogs. Like, if you see the other three teams... They're like almost in every year in the Final Four.
Right. It's a little youth versus experience type thing, but sometimes youth wins, especially in a situation like this. Last season, you were with Valencia. What about going to a team that you saw finish in the basement? See, they have, you know, the last couple of years haven't been that great for Anadolu-Efes, and last year they finished dead last. Was that an issue when you like looked at it?
I mean, I saw like what kind of players they signed, and I thought like, okay, they have a goal. They want to go to the Final Four. And I've seen a big progress during the season. But of course, like to beginning, I just seen like what kind of players are signed. And
Most of the guys that they signed, I'm sorry to interrupt you, most of the guys that were signed were there before you signed, before they called you.
Some of them were.
Yeah. So even after
general,
you.
In general, it was like kind of like a brand new team. Like
right, so you many. Saw that they had an idea. They had a vision of the future.
I mean, like Mormon from Barcelona, Shane Larkin.
Right.
Like, we have great players. Like,
yeah, the team. I mean, and plus you guys have gelled this year, which is the most important thing. But a lot of the guys weren't there last year. So is the fact that being in last place, is it a motivational factor from this team? Because, again, like I said, there's not that many guys that were there from last season.
The thing is, I was not a part of it from last year. Of course, I played for Valencia, but I've seen that Efes was not that happy about the position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's, after 19 years, the first time that I made it to the Final Four again.
Right,
so
exactly.
They had a goal, and I'm pretty proud to be a part of it.
A team has to believe. That's my thought process during the year. And when you come from last place to where you are, there's a little bit of fragility involved in your season. But up to round 11, you were 8-2. From rounds 11 to 16, you lost 4 out of 5 games. The only team you beat during those 5 weeks was Budenos, which was in last place at that time. So you lost a game that you should have won against the Real Madrid. I don't even want to talk to you about it because I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. You went to Olympiacos, lost, then you won the Budenos game, and you lost to Cheska in Barcelona. What was it like during that time of the season? I mean, was it like, uh-oh? I mean, did you feel any like insecurities creeping in going from 8-2 to 9-6?
Of course, I would lie if I would say like,
God, hey, I love interviewing you, man, because most guys would be like, no, we were great, we were fine. I love it.
No, of course, like you're thinking about it, but on the other side, there's not so much time to think about it. It's right. Like kind of like, sometimes the thoughts are coming up, but on the end, you have to keep going. Like, there is no time. Like, you have Turkish League 2,
exactly.
And so two games a week. So if you have a loss, you try to focus on the next week. We didn't been that happy to that time of a season, but what I say, like, we were like kind of like a brand new team. I seen it more like it was kind of like a process during the whole season. And now on the end of a season, we came like to the level we wanted to be. And I mean, like, now we made it to the Final Four, so like all this other stuff, we don't have it in our mind anymore.
Yeah, it's forgotten now. But I'd like to go back, because what interested me about this team was two games you had. One against Barcelona at home in round 25, which was an all-out battle for fourth place. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you guys were tied at the time.
Mm.
And you had already lost to Barcelona in Barcelona, so that was a huge game. You had to win that game. And then you win that one. Then you go to Maccabi, to a team that's won 7 straight home games, won 7 of the last 9, had a change of a coach before that, and were rolling right along. And you guys dominated that game. If the fragility set in earlier, I mean, this had to be the point where you're like, we got this. We're, you know, we're here.
The things, like, I always believed in my team. That's what I can say. Like, of course, I can say, like, we had some up and downs during the season, mm-hmm. but I never had the feeling that we can't make it. Like, we have so many players who can shoot the ball in the last second, and I trust them that they can do it. For example, like Vasily Micic, who is like, we can change a game like in 1 second.
He's had an incredible season.
He's incredible.
Dude.
Or now, yeah. Like Shane Larkin on the end of a season,
you to know something. Shane Larkin started playing straight up ball after he got on the on my podcast in the crossover. So next year.
Next year
I'm bringing you out. I thought the most impressive thing that y'all did right before the playoffs was you had round 20 against Budenholzer. You won that game. You locked up fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't going to third, and you weren't going to fifth. You go to Baskonia, and then you got Milan at home. You got two teams that are in desperate need of winning. You drop 102 against Baskonia, 101 against Armani at home. And you beat two teams when you didn't have to win. Was that a statement, like, week for you guys to say, okay, we're here, we have home court advantage, but let's show that we can do more? Or was it a fact that, listen, we don't want to lose two games before we go into the Final Four?
I think the second point. Like, I think it's bad, like, if you relax straight, like, before the season is over. So we wanted to finish the season the right way. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
That makes our team so special. We never stopped fighting. Like, we always had a goal to finish the season as best as we can. And on the end, like, it's good to go with confidence to the next round.
I thought that was what helped you guys win the playoff against Barcelona.
especially like in EuroLeague, it's tough. Like, he cannot relax and take some days off. That's not good. Like, you have to keep the level high. Of course, like, you can play on a high level, but when you relax, it's tough to get there like in 1 second.
All right, to finish up, I'm gonna see how honest you really are, because I was watching this whole thing from the beginning, the playoffs, and I saw to myself, I'm like, you guys have beaten Fenerbahce once this year. You lost to them the other time. You took them into overtime. You've beaten them twice, actually, because you beat them in the Turkish League 3 times. There you go. There you go. He's giving me a sign with the 3-point sign underneath. So you've beaten them 3 times.
It's 3-3 right now.
So looking into it, you're looking at yourself going, if we get through Barcelona, man, we got a chance, because we know this team. We can play them. I'm thinking as an ex-player, I'm much happier playing Fenerbahce than I am right now playing against Madrid or Cesca.
I mean, like, on the ends, like, we are kind of like happy that we play against Fener, because we played against him many times during the season and we've seen that we have a chance. But on the end, it's Final Four. Like, we take what we get, you know. If it's now Madrid or CSKA, we will give everything against every team what is coming up.
So you're 3-3 against Fener this year, right?
Yes.
You're 0-4 against Madrid and CSKA.
Yeah. But I think Final Four is something different. Yeah, it is. Like, you came with different energy here.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. But what do you think needs to be done to beat a team like Fener in the Final Four? Because, I mean, of course, we there's been some injury.
Yeah.
Gigi's not playing, unfortunately, for them. And, you know, for whatever reason, you always want to see the right team on the floor, you know, the full team on the floor. But this happens this time of year. What do you guys have to do to beat this team? Because they got experience. They've been here before.
What is important in this situation? I would say preparation. Like, okay, we played against them many times during the season. That means we have a lot of video material to prepare us. On the other side, we have to do what we did the whole season long. Like, we won against them 3 times, so it's kind of like 50% of winning. Right. And on the end, the team with the most energy, and we'll win. They're missing some players. What is actually like really good for us, but on the end, like, the rest of the team has a lot of quality.
Hey man, I just want to wish you, first of all, a lot of luck in your first Final Four. I'd love to see you back a lot more times, and I'll give you a hint, man. It's a lot easier to get here to the Final Four from this position with a microphone in my hand than it is from your position. So, but don't try to come take my job in a couple of years. Get out of there. Tiber, thanks, my man, and good luck to you tomorrow. Or actually this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Of course, I'm supposed to be doing my job, and I'm supposed to know these things, but sometimes I can't remember. But I think this is the biggest turnaround in EuroLeague history, isn't it? From last place to maybe a team that's been in last place has made it to the Final Four, but maybe from an eighth place or, you know, but a fourth place position after being in last place last year is a major turnaround.
They really bring together a group of the guys that they didn't play, never, none of them has played Final Four, but all of them played in EuroLeague and understand the league. And, you know, when you have Simon, by the way, it's not true, Micic was last year in Final Four. I just now remember.
Ah, that's right. Yes, yeah, that's right.
Last year,
with Zagiris,
Daston
.
Also go to Olympiakos.
Daston with Olympiakos, yes.
Okay.
So, you see, they
got some experience.
They forget it, but they have it inside, you know. Yeah, they have some experience. They have a coach that everything, you know, connected together. For me, they were the most impressive team this year in EuroLeague, because everybody were expecting them to start to drop, and they were like keeping the full throttle all to the end.
Okay, during the season, you lose a game, everybody loses a game. They lose game, maybe some stupid games, maybe some tough games, but everybody loses a game. So you need to be focused and go on. And that's the most impressive for FS, because as we remember last year, they lose some games and after they quit the season.
Right, exactly.
And this season they work hard, they win. For me, the key of them that they win a lot of games away of Istanbul. Until now, they lose all the games away, and that's why they finish the season. And they have groups like with experienced players. Maybe the only 2 players that go to the Final Four. Ergin go to the Final Four 1 time with Siena, the coach. And but all the others, they play in EuroLeague so many years. They know how to prepare themselves for the games. And it's good to see a team that every year they put a lot of money. And they never go to the to the Final Four. They never play good, because they play now. FS play excellent. They play excellent in offense. They score 90 points more or less per game, but they play also good defense.
Nicole, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring this up to you, but I also think that the game at Maccabi as Mikhailis just said, they've won games on the road. They went to Maccabi. You guys had won 7 games in a row at home. You had won 7 of the last 9 games, and you were making that push to get into the playoffs. Yes, yes. And they just walked in and pretty much controlled that game from the jump ball.
As you said, these guys, towards all season, they were really pushing, and they didn't let down to any kind of chances. That every game they were coming, you could feel on them that they really want to win the game. For us, it was a very important game against them. We lost in the end by a few points, but they were determined from the beginning to go big. You know, you could especially, you know, give them this. I'm sure that even they have this small crisis, the great start give them hope and give them this right. This idea that they can achieve something. So during the season, you know, some except Ceska and Fenerbahce, even Ceska actually had this year small crisis. But it's normal in such a long season to have small.
I think everybody but Fenerbahce had that little that question mark.
What is important is finish, and for me the most impressive thing was actually the playoff against Barcelona. Yeah. This is where they show the how big they are, because they came to fifth series and they didn't collapse, you know, right. Because the pressure was on them.
And I think it was because of those games that they played throughout the season that helped them through. So now let's get to the game, the big game between the two of them. You said it earlier. You like, regardless, you like Efes. Yes. You're kind of on my bandwagon. I said the same thing a long time ago. I saw Efes playing in the playoff, thinking to themselves like, hey, if we get this, we have Fenerbahce, where most people would be like, hey, we got to get to the Final Four, play Fenerbahce, and damn it. These guys, I think, were looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course. They know each other, so it's familiar. It's like another game for Turkish League. They know the matchup. They play a lot of times. They show each other every time during the Turkish League. For both teams, Fener and Efes, I think it's the best matchup. It's better, I think, for Efes to play against Fener than Real. They prepare to probably play in the final.
That's why I told them they were 0-4 against Ceska and Real Madrid, but they're actually 3-3 this season against Fenerbahce.
So it's it's a big game. At the beginning, Fener probably they have the advantage, but now with the injuries, is a question mark for the players. But the thing is, also with no injuries, I think Efes they have small advantage. Right now they play excellent. They have the psychology to play all these games with a very high intensity all the season. They've been in the Final Four. They play good basketball, offense and defense, because we see teams like they play very good offense like Milan, but the defense they are terrible.
Right.
Efes they play together, offense and defense. They have players that they go in and surprise them, play very good. Larkin, for example, at the beginning is out of the team, out of the rotation.
Right.
At the end, he goes put in the middle of the season, and now he's one of the most important players of the team. And it's a very good matchup, like Mohamed Ali said, to meet each other. You know, Larkin and Ali, we're going to see what happens.
You know as well as I do, Nicola, that you're playing against Selko Obradovic, right? Ali Mohamed mentioned the fact that Barcelona was easy on Efes. They gave him wide open shots from the three. Just the way Efes plays, I have to assume that the whole week's focus and practice was the perimeter defense, to make sure that Misic, make sure that Larkin, make sure that all these guys, Bubois, aren't shooting wide open threes. You know that's going to come. It's not going to be as easy for Efes.
No, of course, especially Fenerbahce has a huge size. They can really play, even after these injuries, they can switch the pick and rolls, they can pick the paint but still be on the perimeter. So it's not going to be so many open shots and so easy to score. Of course, if Fenerbahce succeed to keep them out of running and put them on 5-on-5 game.
So who wins it? I don't want you to make a prediction. I just want you to think, you know, what's your final analysis of who has the advantage, who has a disadvantage? Because you have the injuries, but you also have the inexperience.
Final Four is it's a game of underdogs. It's usually the teams, you know, Ceska is already, I think, 17 out of 18 Final Four, something like this.
Right.
They won 3, and they were every time favorite.
Exactly.
You know, so it's...
we'll discuss that in a little while.
Yes, it's something that, you know, I also know from my experience, 2014, we came to Final Four in Milano. nobody gave us zero chances. But you come in the momentum, it's excitement, it's coming to, you know, to one game, and usually when you don't have anything to lose, you play the best.
I believe FS.
You got FS, okay. Let's move on to the next one then, the second semifinal, CSKA Moscow, Real Madrid, Friday night at 9 o'clock p.m. in the Fernando Buesa Arena, or 2100 hours if you're military mind or European mind, whatever. And I got to talk with Trey Tompkins. I call him Mr. Smooth. He's just got one of those, he's got like an old man game like us, you know, like he's kind of like look at the basket and pull up. And I asked him, one thing I asked him was, is it ever get old to come back here? You know, and of course, we're going to hear his answer now.
Yeah, it never gets old. And it's something that, you know, based on the long year that we have, man, it starts to become such a grind. But then once you get here, it's like, okay, now I remember, like, this is what we've been playing for all right. year, and it's all been worth it.
I don't have to bring up too much history because I'm sure you probably heard it and know it, but it's not easy to repeat.
Nah.
Not at all. Maccabi and Olympiacos were only through the repeat since the 80s. Odds are not with you. I'm sure it hasn't been talked about. I've been in the locker room long enough to know that hasn't been talked about, but... Mm-hmm. Does it creep into your mind? Does it like walk in, go, man, this is like...
I mean, we don't really have a choice but to think about it at this point. Yeah. I mean, once you win it and once you get back the next year, it's the first thing that comes to everyone's mind. It's the first thing that comes to fans, staff, your teammates. You try not to talk about it because you don't want to jinx yourself. But,
It's there.
It's just inevitable. Yeah, it's the only thing. And we know that's legendary if we can do that.
I've always wanted to ask you this, and I kind of wanted to wait on it. You've been through a lot with this team.
Yeah.
All right? You've been through injuries.
Yeah.
You've been through not playing because other players were playing. You've been through – you've had to sit out because of passport issues with other players. Mm-hmm. But, man, you've remained just constant. Is it hard? You're an American player, man. Right. I always think that American mentality is like
– yeah, for sure. A competitive go-getter. But – for me, I learned quickly once I got to this team that it wasn't the ordinary, like, European or any team, period. The way this team operates is like one big unit. Like, there's no one guy that's more than the team or no one guy that is the team. So when certain things happen, it makes you become a professional more than you expected you would ever have to. And at this point, being with this club, I know my value. They know my value. I've never questioned myself, and they've never questioned me. And with the confidence that they always give me, no matter what's going on, I'm able to just remain, like you said, constant. And I always keep my mind focused on the game and focused on what I can control.
So you're saying you push yourself at a mental level.
Yeah,
100%. But that's harder for a player to do because the physical thing is
been
easy.
Doing it for so long.
Yeah, the physical thing is a breeze. You know, you got to go lift weights. You know, you got to go shoot around. Right. You know, you got to coaches said it a lot in the elevator. You know, every practice a hard practice for you. Yeah. But I was like that anyway. But you know the physical aspect of it. But pushing yourself mentally. Because the mental part can take away from the physical part more than the physical will take away from the mental. So that's got to be difficult to know that you're not playing this week and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it becomes tough. But, I mean, like you know, the mental aspect of the game is much more important than the physical, like you said. Staying prepared. Luckily, I have my family out here with me. I got my daughter. I got my fiance.
I saw some Instagram yesterday with your daughter, man.
She's a fool, man. She's starting to talk now, repeat everything.
What were y'all doing? The E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, the old McDonald's. She's getting it now, man. And it's crazy. She just walks around the house going, E-I-E. Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
But then
she's how old?
She's two.
Two, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, they play a big factor. And honestly, being in a city like Madrid, it helps because once I leave the gym, I go home to
escape.
Yeah, I can escape. She's happy. She's always happy to see me no matter what's going on in my life. The sun's shining.
I think I could ask you this because I'm kind of cool. The team comes flying out of the blocks this season. I mean, and you don't see that many times after a team that wins it. You always maybe say a letdown in the beginning, but you guys came out 7-0. You were hurt early.
Yeah, I was hurt. Yeah, my foot was messed up.
So the team's 7-0. You win and scoring almost 100 points a game, win them almost 20. You show up in the lineup, man. You lose two out of the next three.
Yeah. I mean, all those things come into mind, man.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
let's let it known. Sergio Jewell was hurt during that time.
Right.
You guys struggled against Gran Canarias, yeah. And then you lost Olympiacos and Cheska, I think mm-hmm. it was. So it wasn't because you were back in the lineup. I'm just messing with
now. For sure. I ain't worried about that. I ain't think about that at
all. But it does get into your head, doesn't it? You finally get back in the lineup. And,
yeah, and like, then we dropped
first. We lost two out of three.
Yeah. No, it definitely is something to think about, especially coming off of a long injury. And the length of the season and the grind that we go through, I mean, I always knew, like, I would get back to myself, and I would get back to the point that my teammates need me to be at. And I mean, it's a grind, man. It's a long season, and we know that we're going to be playing all the way into the end of June. So sometimes slip ups and bumps in the road, it doesn't really get to us. We work hard when we get to practice that next Monday, and we try to forget what's been happening and get back on track.
Who taught you that baseline? Square up, look at the basket, hold the ball down by your knee, and then just shoot it. Who taught you that?
My dad.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I'm in love with your dad.
Me too, man.
Man, it's the simplest move in basketball.
I used to watch.
Did your dad play?
Yeah, he played ball.
We're going to get all into that in the crossover next year, though.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. But, we would just watch basketball. We watch so much basketball. And, I watched Tim Duncan because he liked Tim Duncan. He liked mm-hmm. Kevin Garnett. He liked Rasheed Wallace, all bigger guys, you know, who had a somewhat finesse and touch. And at a young age, he could see that I could shoot the ball. So he tried to get me to watch certain guys, and I started to fall in love with their game. And just the way Tim would have patience, and with this European game, it's almost impossible to play just one-on-one with your guy because there's no defensive rule. Mm-hmm. So there's always help coming. And for me, if I can just face up and see, one, that my man's hands, both his hands are down.
Exactly.
And the help is in the middle, I only have one or two choices. It's a quick jumper or a one dribble step back maybe, or some kind of something that creates some separation.
Or you're back and then you hit that fadeaway.
Exactly. Yeah. So the turn and face thing is really like I stole that from Tim Duncan, man. And
I was hoping you say you stole it from me, but I'm too old for that.
I got to do my homework. I got to do my homework.
The 3-0 win over Panathinaikos was just a confidence build, I got to imagine. Because y'all went and finished the season well.
Yeah, no, we didn't at all. We honestly were starting to feel earlier that we were going to end up getting Panathinaikos, and we knew it was going to be a war. We had them. That was our last EuroLeague game of the season.
Right.
So we knew going into that game, like it was going to be another war, and we knew what was in front of us. We got all the details, and at the end of it, it just came down to who wanted it. And we played well, we made shots, and we helped each other and battled. That was really it, man. And it led to this, and now we're here.
I'm not even going to set this question up. I'm just going to ask you, and I'm going to see if you know what I mean. Was it a push?
He already knows what I mean.
For the people who are listening who can't see his face right now, he gave me that look like I just got busted.
Nah. Okay, I'm going to keep it.
I'm talking about Fabian Coser's foul shot last year mm-hmm. where Trey tapped it in, if anybody watched that game. Mm-hmm. So now I'm asking the man himself.
All right, so I'll break it down for you second by second, right? As Fab's shooting the ball, it hits the back rim. Mm-hmm. Melly does the normal box out, strong, tough box out. As the ball bounces the second time, he mistimes the jump. That's what happened. And I gave him the normal,
the love
every,
tap.
The tap everybody gives under the basket for an offensive rebound. I gave him that. And it just came my way. And that's how the cookie crumbled, man. The basketball gods, man.
So it wasn't a foul.
No call, no foul.
No, no blood, no foul.
No blood, none of that.
Talk about Fab. I had him on Crosser. He's actually my first guest. He wasn't the first show, but he was my first guest. You know he sold you out, right?
Nah, I didn't hear nothing about it.
I asked him, I said, Fab, last year, I said, y'all went through so many injuries that there had to be a point in the season where you just gave up and you're like, man, forget it. He's like, no, I never gave up. But I was having a drink one day with Trey. And Trey just looked at me and said, Fab, it ain't going to happen this year. Did he sell you out?
Honestly, I was in it. I really felt like it was going to be tough to do, man. That was a a moment where I was honestly going through some things myself. I didn't know if the team was good. I didn't know. It was one of those hiccup times that we were talking about earlier. And Fab is consistent, man. He persistent also with however he's feeling. If he knows something's going to go a certain way, there's no telling him any different. And honestly, that night, we were having that drink. And by the end of that drink, I was convinced that we would be all right. I was convinced we would be all right.
Y'all beat Cheska last year in the same game. Mm-hmm. Revenge factor, you think they're coming at you?
Oh, yeah. I've been having this.
You haven't beaten them since.
No, we haven't. I've honestly had some dreams about, like, different scenarios leading up to this, and I already know it's going to be a war, man. If we can get past this first game, I think that's going to do a lot for us as far as confidence and as far as, like...
Nando's playing ball, man.
The thing about him is he's always playing ball.
Yeah,
no. I ain't never seen him.
He didn't play good in the first two games of the Basconi series, but games three and four, they needed
that
him.
That dude, man, he, like, ever since I was with the Clippers and he was with the Spurs, and I just always was like, who is this dude? Who is this dude? And now I've been playing against him so long, like, I know, like, dude can go.
He's one of those guys that, like, if you're down in the city somewhere playing ball, he'd be the last guy picked, too.
Yeah, and then come out and torch everybody, start torching.
Hey, man, I look forward to the game this weekend, man.
Me too.
And you know what the deal is here, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The most important thing is to stay out of that consolation game, right?
Yeah, oh, my gosh. I've been there before, and that's the worst feeling, man.
I've been there once, too.
Oh, it's so hard to play that game, man.
So, yeah, Trey, you know, obviously – The correct answer, Trey says that, you know, it never gets old to come back here. And it never really does, because you always want to be back here. But, you know, as we talk with Tibor Place says, I want to enjoy it. You know, I want to enjoy the moment. But you don't enjoy this afterwards when you lose. So as much as you want to enjoy it, it's no fun when you lose. But it doesn't get old. But you never know when you're going to come back to this thing. Not everybody's as fortunate as Kyle Hines.
I wasn't as a player on 6 Final Fours, and I cannot say that it's enjoyable. I don't know. I cannot say that I enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy it after the 2 times that I won, and 4 times I feel like I don't want to even say the words how I felt after these 4 losses. So to enjoy the Final Four, you have to really win it. But now these 2 days are defining lots of things in the players' careers. And you know, it's beautiful to bring the trophy home, and it's highest achievement in the league. So you're working hard all year, and you have something for life to achieve. So these guys, only one team will enjoy; all 3 will suffer. I can tell them now.
Let's go back to Real Madrid. You're from Greece. You know the Greek teams. You work on TV in Greece. You know everything about. Did you expect Real Madrid to sweep Panathinaikos in the playoffs 3-0?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Really? You didn't expect Panathinaikos to win one game?
No, the way the Panathinaikos play and the way Real play, also without Yul. I think Real is the deepest team, you know. They have 12, 13 players. I think they can play in all top EuroLeague teams.
But Panathinaikos was rolling. They had the momentum going into the playoffs.
Yes,
Madrid loses Jewel.
Because I think also Panathinaikos, the last 1 month before the playoffs, they play with playoff mood.
Right.
Playoff mood. So at the end, after 1 month, they're supposed to be, you know, the highest level and go down after. And unfortunately, they play against one team that the first game is very close to win Panathinaikos. And maybe after, like I said, in a series of 5 games, I think Real gonna win. We're gonna beat Panathinaikos easy.
My biggest thing, I knew that Capasso was going to drive Kolatas crazy.
Every time.
Every year. Yeah. When I did the crossover with Kolatas, with Nick, he told me that Legovicius, Luka, in practice drives him crazy because he's just a little guy. So you knew it's going to happen in the game, you know, and Capasso's even in a game is going to be 10 times worse, but Capasso played incredible. I mean, he's the guy that's actually the catalyst for this team right now. So you got the shortest guy in the league in Capasso, and you got the tallest guy in Tavares, who there are 2 names that you don't expect to be winning this tournament for them, but they are.
They really, after injury of Lula, and Capasso took the leadership. You know, it's with all these names that they have there, you know, he's from position of point guard, he took the leadership and really, you know, glued them all together. So he did a great job, especially in this playoff series. To stop Nick like this was impressive.
And now they show up here, and you know, they played Cheska last year. You know, and Trey talked about, I asked him last year if it was a push, you know, against Nicola Melli in that last play. He said no. He said the ball went up, Melli went after it, it hit the rim, and he said he gave him like a little love tap. That's all, that typical hand on the back. But he said it wasn't a foul. What do you guys think?
Come on, this kind of games, you cannot give the win or lose to the team with this kind of whistle. You just leave the game play, you know. Love that. I like this. Love that. There's no way.
Love that. But, you know, Madrid, it's funny because we talked about Fenerbahce being injured. But last year, Madrid was injured the whole season long. And they came and they were the freshest team in the league because they had everybody back from rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like everybody, you had Sergio Jewell come back. You had everybody come back. So it's going to be interesting to see this matchup with Cheska, and now we're going to move on to Cheska because I got a chance to talk to Chacho Rodriguez, to Sergio Rodriguez, about their team and about what they have to do. So we'll listen to that interview. The Chacho, I heard this before on Kyle Hines' podcast. My boy, you know, your teammate, Kyle Hines, I keep telling him he's trying to take my job. Fill us in real quick where the Chacho comes from, quickly. I've heard it before, but I want my listeners to know.
Well, first of all, hello. I'm a big fan of yours all my life, especially, of course, growing up in Tenerife, watching Real Madrid games all the time and watching you play. And then, you know, in Tenerife, in the Canary Islands, we used to communicate and tell, like, Kid or El Chacho. So my first national team appearance, we were like 30 kids playing in
30 chachos
in Madrid, and you know we have like the word to everybody who come from Canary Islands to start calling Chacho. After that, I went to Bilbao to play in the Spanish Federation project, and we have some guys that will work with me on the national team, so they keep it up and until now.
There you go. And if you keep playing well, that name sticks with you. That's a good thing. You know, in June, you turn 33. In June, you're going to be 33 years old. Not old in today's game, but you're getting there.
Yeah.
Every Final Four, are they becoming more special? Or is it just like another, you know, it's just another part of the season for me?
It is a long way, but they're still very hungry and humble for everything. I like to enjoy every moment. I like to live on the present, trying to take advantage of every opportunity that I have. Of course, the Final Four is a great opportunity to achieve the goals that you set at the beginning of the season. Everybody knows it's not easy. It's a tough way to get here. And then playing every game as a final, knowing the importance for the club and for the team, for the teammates that we've been, you know, chasing for this for a long time. You know, you always think about it when you got to the Final Four. You know how difficult it is to get here. You don't know it's going to be your last, but you always have to play if it's like your last. So
I think that's always the most important, to have that attitude where it's like your last. Let's go into the playoffs now. Game one was total domination against Baskonia. Game two was probably the worst game you guys played the whole season. You come back to Baskonia for game three and four with the home team playing in front of one of the best crowds in Europe. Are you a little bit nervous?
No, I mean, I think the second game that we played in the playoff, it was not our worst game. It was a tough game for us. We played the last game of the season against Baskonia. It was a tie game, and we end up winning. The second game, the first game of the playoff, we were very, very, very focused, very concentrated. We play a really good game and we beat them. And then it was the third game in a row, and it's not easy. When you play a team like Baskonia with a lot of talent, big, we kind of were expecting how the game was going to be, and they got us. And then on the third and the fourth, it was a great achievement for the team. We have that on our back, that confidence that on the big moments, especially this year, we solved it well. We were a few times against the wall and having a tough week working at home in Moscow, and we solved it right. So That's on our back, and that's on our confidence. That's what we want to build during the season, to get at this point with that on your back.
This is not the typical Cesca season where you dominated the whole season long. You've had kind of ups and downs. I call it flying underneath the radar, so to speak. And I think those two wins, like you're explaining now, were huge for the confidence of the team. Not that you're not a confident team to begin with, but you know, those were big wins. But now you get here with Coach Tudis. This is the fifth straight time he's been here, eighth straight time for Cesca Moscow. But the success rate isn't where you would like it to be, you know? I mean, Coach Tudis is, of the four times, he's only gotten to one final. They won that final, which is the good thing about it. But you got to play with the demons. You play with the demons.
Yeah, first of all, when you talk about Cesca, you talk about one of the greatest clubs in Europe. Our record was 24-6. On a 30-game season, and we still think like we could do better.
But at the end
of the day, we lost just 6 games.
But you played Real
games.
Madrid. You played in clubs that happens.
No, of course. No, of course.
You're expecting
like Real Madrid. Fener lost 4 games during the year. So we like the way that the season went. Mm-hmm. You know, like we have up and downs, and especially those downs that we have, we fix it right. I think that's the most important thing. At the point to get to the Final Four, for everybody, is a new season. Even if it's a weekend, and we have to be ready. But we know what you did before. It has to be helping you to get better and to get to this point in a better situation. But it's gonna be a new game, a new life, and we have to all be ready.
There's no easy team in the Final Four, obviously, for the reasons you're saying. It's a one-game format. You guys lost to Real Madrid last season, and you face them again here on Friday night. Is there any sense of conversation in the locker room about revenge, making up for last year's loss? I mean, you know, because I talked about, you know, Fenerbahce, and they're motivated about last year's loss in the final. Efes was motivated by last year's, you know, finishing in the end of the bottom of the league. Are you using it as a motivational tactic?
When you want to achieve your goal, you got to beat the best. And Real Madrid is one of the best. They won last year. They have also a hell of a season. But I think it's more not against Madrid. It's the situation that we live last year, losing the semifinal. We have a big base of players and coaches and staff that was here last year, and we don't want to have that feeling again. Mm-hmm. And that's what we work during the year, to get at this point in a better circumstances and get the win and get another feeling out of the Final Four.
You won it in 2015 with Real Madrid. You left in 2016 for Philly, came back to Cesca Moscow. My biggest question is, I remember being traded to other teams or going to other teams and having to play against my old team. Sometimes it was easy, sometimes it was difficult. This team hasn't changed much. You have Rudy, Felipe, Gustavo, Sergio, J.C. Carroll, Jeffrey Taylor. You play with all these guys. Is it becoming easier to play against them, or is it still like a weird feeling?
I mean, it's always a special feeling to play against people that you know very well, that you share many battles with them, and then you have good relationship off the court, like we had for many years, and we have. So, you know, it is a new game. We all want to win, and this is all about. This is where we work every morning, and to get at this point and be on the best position. At the same time, you know, it depends on the game. I will try to help with my experience of knowing them, my teammates, my coaches, everybody, exactly. Trying to tell. And on the other side, they know what I'm doing. They know me very well. So, you know, I think at this point, it's very important to have a right mindset and, you know, working about getting to this point on the best shape, on the best mindset, and that's all that matters, you know, getting ready for this moment.
Yeah, mentally, I think it's important, but it's so important to get here. It's imperative to be in the Final Four in the best shape physically and mentally. Fenerbahce, for example, we know Vesely's questionable, Kalinic is questionable, Datomi's out. How's Cesca physically?
We are doing well. You know, I think we are... on a much better shape than last year. Last year we have a couple injuries before the playoff. I couldn't play, like Kyle and Nando. Then Leo got injured on a BTP game and couldn't play. And so, you know, for us it's very important. And I think this year we have a much better rotation during the season, getting everybody ready for this end of the season. I got an incident on the last game. I twisted my ankle. I thought it was going to be worse, but you know, working hard and luckily I'm 100%. I practiced the last 4 days normal, so it won't be an issue. But I think we are in a better shape than last year.
My sound guy Danny here that's sitting next to us talking to us, he's the one that told me about your ankle. I didn't even know about it.
I mean, I twisted, but. At the same time, like I said in the whole talk that we have, you are preparing the year for this moment. For this moment. You know how important it is for you, for the club, for your teammates, for all the moments that you have shared with everybody in the locker room. And this is about us, and it's very important. And this is the moment that we all have to step up.
Let me give you the positive, because the timing, again, couldn't be better for you guys. We talk about timing, getting here, injuries, mentality, everything else. I went over all the stats because, you know, even though this seems like easy work, I have to research and do all my work. You guys have won 11 of the last 12 games of the season, the regular season. You obviously beat Baskonia 3-1. The one game you lost, you know which one it was? Come on, you don't even believe it. You don't even remember it, probably.
Maccabi?
No. You lost on the Calatas 3 off the backboard.
Yeah, yeah. At home, yeah.
So literally, I don't even...
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think Nick Calatas believes that shot went in to this point. So really, you won 13 games in a row to finish out the season, plus the 3-1, and you're coming in at a perfect time, better than anybody else at this point.
Like I told you, we have some up and downs during the season.
But I think that helps you guys.
Yeah, it helps us a lot.
Yeah.
Especially when we have the bad stretch through December and beginning of January, that we have a bad stretch. But we came up very strong. Everybody knows where the goals are, and we're going to achieve. And that was the most important thing during the regular season, getting ready, getting better every day, and try to get at this point in the situation that we are.
Cesca Moscow. First, let's talk about the positive, Cesca Moscow, okay? They finished out the season 15-1 at the end of the regular season. They went on to Baskonia. They beat Baskonia 3-1. We all know that they lost that second game at home, which kind of made them a little bit nervous. I mean, how would you feel losing the game two at home and then coming back to Baskonia where you know the team's – first of all, you know the fans are great here. And second of all, you know the team's fighting for that playoff, that Final Four berth in their home court.
Listen, Cesca beat Baskonia, I think, 14 or 15 years straight. Until that game, you know. Yeah. And Baskonia did this great achievement to bring the home, bring here, you know, to finish the series here with two home games. But listen, then Nando De Colo woke up in the morning and said, okay, guys, now I come to play.
Exactly.
Now it's my time, so he came and won these two games, you know, by himself. This is the real, you know, when you are MVP, you know how to play the game, and it was impressive how they came. You could see the focus on the CSKA players. They really came. That's for me, you know. I would like to really the FS to win this game because this is my team. I played also in FS, but somehow
you played on every team.
No, actually, no. You know, I play in every team that's coming to Final Four. It's different.
Exactly.
But I think CSKA is. I have a feeling that this is their year.
You do.
They are playing really on some. Even they struggled, and then they came a little bit like underdogs here. Except FS, you know, they are the only one that they are like, you know. People were thinking, CSKA, but this is giving them something, you know.
Every year they start the season, during the season, during the Final Four, they are the favorite that, okay, CSKA, for sure they win the EuroLeague, for sure they go to the Final Four, for sure they win the EuroLeague again. This year, they're suffering, you know. During the season they have some crisis, they don't play so good, De Colo plays sometimes good, sometimes bad. They lose the second game against Vitoria in Moscow, and actually Vitoria they need 4 wins at home to win the title. After the win in Ceska, they need 4 wins to win the title at home. They come, but they come here and they really play tough. They play with a very big concentration during the both games, and they win. I don't know. It's a very tough game for me. Tough game because Real Madrid, they play good. They are is the team that they don't move. You know, they stay in the country, yeah. Just move for an hour to come here. I don't know. Both that team, that couple, my favorite is Real.
But Cesca, they're flying under the radar because they didn't do much this season. They didn't have the typical season where they came right out of the gate, dominated. But they're also flying under the radar here because we all know what's happened in the past. You mentioned it right from the beginning of this interview. Yeah. They've been in, what, 17 years, 18 years. They only have a couple titles. Iturriz, this is his fifth consecutive year. He's 1-3, hasn't made the final game. The only time he made the final game, he won it, which was in Berlin. So they're playing with demons. They're playing against demons. And even in the game that they won, they were winning by 20 points, and they were lucky to win that game. They had a tap-in in the last possession that was a miracle. How do you get over that?
They had a few very bad losses in their final fours. You know, if you remember the Olympiacos.
They are lucky. Olympiacos not here.
Also Maccabi 2014, they were 15 points up third quarter, and we beat them on the end.
Those are the demons I'm talking
about. This is you know, when it's coming under the skin and you see yourself leading 15 points, and then you start to doubt on yourself. It's a big demon. And but like I said, this year maybe all this struggle that they had during the season and make them stronger and make them fight to the end and not watch the scoreboard. And this can be turning point for them.
I think we all know about the demons. We all know about whatever. But now let's actually talk about the actual matchup. I see this as being a perimeter against an inside game, so to speak, because Madrid has been dominating inside. With Ione cutting to the basket, with Tavares cutting to the basket, they're definitely going to have to defend the middle of the paint. But Madrid's going to have to defend the perimeter with De Colo, Higgins, Chacho. Who's going to determine the tempo of this game?
Again, I believe that Ceska has a like you said, more perimeter game that they can if they will shoot good, they can really neutralize this size of Tavares. You know, is amazing how he's protecting the paint and changing all these shots. So they really have to shoot from outside and score, you know, and speed up the game. Right. Otherwise, if they're being 5-on-5 and try to penetrate inside, it's going to be low score game. And
we saw what Poirier did against Ceska. Yes, exactly. He dominated in the middle of the zone underneath the paint. If they let Tavares float around like that, he already shoots 78% from the field.
Yes.
He's gonna shoot 95%. Yes. He's gonna shoot 12 for 13.
I saw the game 2 days ago. The last game they played in Moscow, and also Real play without Yul again.
Right.
And Capaccio again. They dominate the game. I believe that if they put Tavares out of the game, because the size is not only to block the shot, they're afraid, you know, they're afraid to shoot the ball, and inside the paint is very big, is very powerful for Real. But after, I think Ceska, that game they play against Real, they dominate in offensive rebound. Everybody go to the offensive rebound and strangle, and Real really strong to take the defensive rebound. And I believe this, of course, the hustle of the teams, and who wins the battle of inside game, they win the game. Because the perimeters, both teams, they have very good players. Have Yul, they have Chacho, De Colo, I don't know, Carol, for example, Cavazzo is a perimeter. They are a very good team.
I might be asking this question for no reason at all, because you guys kind of gave your answer a little bit in your comments. Ceska, who goes to the final? Who's playing on Sunday in the last game?
Ceska Efes.
Ceska Efes. And Ceska's going to beat Madrid because they're going to control that middle of the paint. They're going to get Tavares out of the game. You?
Efes Real.
But Efes is definite.
I'm sure both of us saying, because we have connection, we are connected with Efes, you know, so we are lots of friends in the club, and we wish them to come there. You know, it's not easy to beat Fenerbahce again. But if Fenerbahce is full, Full roster, probably we will say different things. But
I said effort because I like the way they play. Yeah. It's like to see how they play. That's why I said effort.
Michalis, you're lucky because you made your prediction, and this is the last time that you're going to sit down and talk with me this weekend in the crossover. But Nicola, you have two more shows to do with me so far. So.
And
this one's on record, and we know exactly what you said. So for all you guys at the crossover don't know, Nicola will be with me throughout the week for Saturday's preview for the Final Four or for the championship game and for the post game also. We'll be with Johnny Rogers on Saturday, and we'll be with Teo Papaloukas on after the game. So, but that's it for now right here. What a big weekend that we have ahead in Victoria Gasteiz. Thank you, Nicola. Thank you, Michalis. Make sure you download the next episode of The Crossover at the Final Four. And we'll have more exclusive interviews and a preview of the championship game as Turkish Airlines' EuroLeague season reaches its climax. That's coming out on Saturday. But for now, from me, Joe Lucas, it's goodbye or adios from here in Spain.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts.